You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 18th of October 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, obviously the main news is all about the MP, Sir David Amos, who was murdered just before the weekend, and we'll be talking about that in Real Britannia later on tonight. But moving on from that to discussing the fallout, it's really been quite predictable. It seems that it doesn't matter what terrorist act it is, the solution that the MPs always call for is more censorship. They will literally be saying one minute that we won't allow this to affect us, we won't allow this to change any of our values, the extremists hate the freedoms that we have, and they'll literally be saying that one minute, and then the next minute they'll be saying, but we need to have more censorship on social media, we need to stop people from being able to say how they feel if it doesn't go along with the mainstream narrative, and we need to stop people from being anonymous online. And it's quite incredible that they can't see the contradiction between the two points of view. I mean, what we have here is we have an Islamic extremist who set out to just kill any MP that he could. I mean, it's just ludicrous, the choice of MP that he actually made, because the MP himself had voted against going into Syria. It seems that this Somali heritage killer was just looking for any MP to kill. There's nothing to suggest that he was radicalized online. There's nothing to suggest that he was looking at social media posts and that was what tipped him over the edge. I don't know what it was that tipped him over the edge. Possibly it could be the wars that we're involved in, where the people that we're fighting against are Muslims. But the whole narrative this summer has been about how people are being radicalized online. There's a big threat from the far right, people are being self-radicalized because they've been locked in at home and they've just been looking at things online. And they're using that same narrative that they were claiming the so-called far right were the main threat. And they now are using the same quotes that they were using about the so-called far right. They're now using them to claim that we need to have more censorship in response to this. So they're effectively saying we need to have less freedoms. They're not going to allow this attack to affect our freedoms, but we're going to have less freedoms. Well, I hope they don't force people to give their real names when they sign up to social media. I mean, the internet has always been about people being able to say how they feel, and they may not be able to say how they feel at work or around their family or around their friends. And the internet gives people a chance to be the people that they really want to be, that perhaps they can't be when they're around other people. Anonymity is quite a central part to it. And you get people that pretend to be people like Kim Jong-un, or they'll pretend to be Klaus Schwab, and they'll make up joke Twitter accounts like that. And just for privacy, people may not want to use their real name on the accounts that they use. I think it goes against democracy to say that people have to give their real names. And then, of course, if they're criticizing certain government policies, they can then be accused of hate speech. and how they can come to this conclusion that that's going to make us safer from the sort of threat that Sir David Amos faced, I don't know. I mean, the threat that everybody is facing, it really is Islamic extremism. And Islamic extremism is not really known with Twitter and Facebook. It's not really linked to that, is it? So they're really just cynically using this to try to push aims that they have already had to come up with more censorship. 3 days after the suspected Islamic extremist-inspired killing of British MP Sir David Amos, Home Secretary Priti Patel has suggested the incident could usher in restrictions on anonymity on social media to combat cruel comments and attacks on politicians from anonymous users. Well, the simple solution, if you don't like what people are saying, is to block them. I mean, what you've actually got here is you've got politicians that are at the top of society, and you've got members of that society who are being adversely affected by policies of the government or adversely affected by things that these politicians are saying, and they're doing all that they can to express their frustration at this. So they express their frustration at the MP. And I dare say a lot of people, when they express their frustration, they may use language that they possibly wouldn't use in civil society or when they're out in a pub or in a cafe or whatever, or just out in public, the sort of language that you wouldn't use there, because they're frustrated and they're angry. And by criticizing somebody or taking them to task online, they're effectively using up that anger. They're having their say, and they think, well, I've said my piece. Lots of other people are saying the same thing as me. Hopefully that politician will take notice of it, and there may be some strong language. But that's what is going on here. I doubt very much whether this guy that killed this MP, whether he was going on Twitter and critiquing Sir David Amos or making violent threats to him. I really doubt that. And I don't think we've ever heard of any of these Islamic extremists going on Twitter and criticizing these MPs. And of course, you can always block people that you don't want to hear from. And this is what I don't understand. We have all these MPs talking about all the horrible comments that are being sent to them. Well, why don't they just block these people? And why don't they think, well, hang on a minute, if the public are not happy about what I'm doing, then perhaps I should look a little bit more carefully at what I am doing. Perhaps these people have a valid point. And obviously they're getting very irate about something that I've done, but they don't appear to think like that. They just think, well, I don't want to hear this, so nobody else should be able to hear this. So we should be censoring these people. We should be silencing them. Appearing on Sky News' Trevor Phillips on Sunday programme, Priti Patel said that she will look into everything, including the end of anonymity online after the killing of St David. I mean, how is that going to prevent something like this happening again? It's not going to prevent something like this happening again. And also, if you stop people from being able to speak and being able to talk about their frustrations, then they're going to end up using their fists, aren't they? Because they're not going to be able to use their voice. If you silence somebody, then they've really got no choice but to use physical actions to get their point across, because they're no longer able to get their point across through their voice. So, you know, you have to use body language, don't you? If you can't actually speak to people, it's always much better to have a debate about these things. She continues, there is work taking place already. We have an online harms bill that will come to Parliament. There is working taking place on it right now. So you see, they transferred this from the threat that there is from Islamic extremism and from the thousands of people that are actually on the government's watch list. They've transformed that into online harms, which is people getting their feelings hurt by other people online. And most of the time, it's celebrities or it's politicians, it's people that are right at the top of society. And the people that are doing this, they see that what they're doing is punching up. And yet the politicians and the celebrities claim that they're the real victims in this. And really, you know, they are in a position, if they have a public persona, they have to be prepared to be criticized by people. And surely that's much better than them being physically attacked. I mean, I would suggest that the reason they're far more likely to be physically attacked if people are no longer able to sort of vent their frustrations online. And I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do to hurl insults or to threaten politicians. That really is not the right thing to do. But people do that rather than doing physical things. That's normally the way of things. I mean, it used to be, years ago, people would say things like they should all be lined up against the wall and shot. And we all knew that that wasn't what people actually thought, and they didn't want to kill politicians, and they certainly wouldn't go out and kill politicians. But what they were doing is exaggerating just how aggrieved they felt at what the politicians were doing. And there was a time when we could use exaggeration like that, and nobody in their right mind would have ever thought of carrying out something like that. I mean, just as nationalists now online, we have to be very careful about the things that we say, because we have these crazies out there that do actually go out and do these stupid things that harm all of us. When I was a child, one of the earliest things I was taught is that it's no excuse to say that so-and-so told you to do something. You have responsibility for your own actions. In fact, saying that so-and-so told you to do something, and if you go and then do it, it means even worse than if you thought of doing it yourself, because it shows that you don't have responsibility over your own actions. You don't have control over your own thoughts. And this ties into tolerance. We should have tolerance of people with different points of view. And I'm not including actual threats here, actual death threats, credible death threats, and things like that. But we should have tolerance. And they talk a lot about misogyny and all this misogyny that it supposedly is online. But I bet it's just people being anti-feminist that are saying these things. Because a lot of the women that are complaining about it, they're all feminists. There was a bit that was just on the BBC, and they were saying that they had done a study on Instagram and Facebook of people that were on Love Island, and apparently words such to do with being evil or being gossipy, they were all more associated with the women on there than they were with the men. So they were saying, well, women get a lot more misogyny. Well, doesn't that actually say that actually it's more likely that the women were being more evil and they were being more gossipy than the men? That's why people were saying that, in the hopes that it might modify their behavior. So they weren't so gossipy and they weren't so evil. That's the reason why people do these things. It's not so they can encourage people to go out and kill MPs or kill women. They've got all of this completely back to front, I think. The Home Secretary added that the country cannot carry on like this. I spend too much time with communities who have been under attack, basically who have had all sorts of postings online, and it is a struggle to get those posts taken down. We want to make some big changes on that. So we've gone from an MP being killed by an extremist from one of these communities to it's these communities that are the victim. And she says they've been under attack. And what she means by under attack, she doesn't mean they've actually been physically under attack. She means people have taken issue to some of their activities and they have brought that out online and they've made their feelings known online about this. And in actual fact, that means that they haven't been attacked, because people have been able to vent their frustration about this online. And once you do that, then obviously that's it. And that's over and done with, isn't it? You've made your complaint. You've managed to make your complaint directly to a member of this community or to the MP or whatever. And you feel like you've made some changes. You've had your say, basically. If people weren't allowed to do that, then people would just get more and more frustrated and more irate, and then they might go and do something physical. Patel argued that social media was at the heart of the increasingly contentious political landscape in Britain, saying that MPs are subject to relentless, cruel comments and attacks online. Cruel comments, so their feelings are being hurt. Well, all they have to do is just block the people that are sending them, surely. The long-proposed online harms bill, which is still being debated in Parliament, has also sought to introduce controls on social media, including on supposed disinformation and trolling. And what they mean by disinformation is news from another point of view, basically. They will claim that Russia Today, RT, they will claim that that is disinformation, and it's just news from a different viewpoint. I mean, we cover news from a different viewpoint here at Radio Albion. We cover news from the nationalist viewpoint. I'm sure they would say that what we're doing is disinformation, but we are using exactly the same sources as the mainstream media do. The government is also seeking to impose penalties on tech firms that fail to police the speech codes which are already in place in Britain, where freedom of speech only now exists on paper for the most part. And that's really not actually what they're doing. The social media companies are not being expected to obey the law and get rid of people that break the law. That's not what they're doing. They get rid of people that simply criticise government policy to do with multiculturalism or immigration or gay marriage or the promotion of transgenderism to children. I mean, people criticise these policies and then they get banned from these social media companies like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and they haven't actually broken any law. It's just that they've been critical of liberal democracy and the policies of it. They already are policing speech codes, and rather than upholding freedom of speech, and they really should be upholding the American laws and the American understanding of freedom of speech, where it's illegal to incite violence against the minority rather than it being illegal to incite hate against the minority. And this idea of inciting hate, it should be hatred that is such a virulent hatred that it could lead to somebody being killed. That was the reason the law was brought into place. That is what we were told. And yet that, because of, I guess you could call it mission creep, because of the mission creep, that is now being used to go after people simply for not using the latest trendy term for people of colour or for simply criticising Islam as a religion. And how not using the latest trendy term for a minority equates with inciting hatred that is so virulent it's going to encourage somebody to go out and kill a member of that minority, I just don't know. Should the British government enact an end to online anonymity, it would follow in the footsteps of communist China, in which social media accounts are typically tied to a person's phone number and government ID. And obviously, I don't really see China as communist. I think China is nationalist and they have socialist policies. They call it socialism with Chinese characteristics, that they are fiercely patriotic and they do what they can for the Chinese people. The improvements in all the measurements of life outcomes in the last 20 years has been absolutely phenomenal in China. But what's happening here is the British government, who are saying we're not going to allow these attacks to alter our values or our freedoms, they're actually advocating to do away with our freedoms and have the same system that China has in response to this. In 2017, the Cyberspace Administration of China enacted a policy that requires identity cards to be scanned as a prerequisite for posting online. Commenting on the law prior to its enactment, an anonymous poster from the southwestern city of Chongqing said, "This will lead to a lot of people not daring to speak the truth because they risk being invited to tea if they tell the truth. Should we not talk about affairs of state?" And the phrase "invited to tea" is internet slang in China for a visit from the state security police. And it's going to be exactly the same situation in Britain if they do this, because people will feel that they can no longer criticise policies of the government because they will be accused of incitement to hate. And people that bring up alternative medical information regarding coronavirus are already being accused of incitement to hate, because they say that if people follow the alternative medical advice, they could end up being harmed by coronavirus, therefore it's harm, therefore that's similar to violence, therefore it's an incitement to violence or hate to just be talking about alternative medical information to do with coronavirus. So that there is always a mission creep with this sort of thing. Speaking on the dangers of such a move, Labour MP Lisa Nandy told the BBC's Andrew Marr programme on Sunday, "I work with a lot of people, whether it is the women of Belarus or the pro-democracy campaigners in Hong Kong, whistleblowers as well, people for whom anonymity on social media can be life-saving." And I agree with her there, but obviously she's talking about it with regards to these other countries. But what about within Britain, people that want to highlight the negative effects of multiculturalism? We need to have anonymity as well, or else we can get in trouble with the state for saying things. Indeed, during the protests in Hong Kong, activists flocked to encrypted messaging services, which the UK government has also attacked, including WhatsApp and Telegram, in order to organise anonymously without facing reprisals from the dictatorship in Beijing. And really, I mean, you should have privacy online. You should have the same privacy online that you have on a telephone call. They don't try to police what people's speech are on a telephone call when you are speaking to people. And they shouldn't be doing the same with social media or with people's websites. It should be seen as private. Groups like Telegram or WhatsApp, that's effectively what it is. It's a group phone call. It shouldn't be censored. If the government want to censor the information that is put out, fair enough, and they do that with the mainstream media, they do that with what is on the television, they do that with what is on the newspapers. When it comes to the internet, it's the people themselves that are putting out their information and their viewpoint on things, and that is a part of the human condition, that we have to speak what we see and what we hear. That was actually used by St. Paul when he was put on trial by the authorities. He said, we cannot help but speak what we see and hear, because that is a part of the human condition. The end to anonymity would also likely usher in a chilling effect on free speech, as many citizens use anonymous accounts in order to express opinions that may be outside the mainstream of political discourse, which, if made public, could jeopardize their jobs or their standing in society. And That is the worry, really. I mean, Britain is supposed to be a beacon of free speech and democracy. The American Constitution and the protections for free speech over there were supposedly based upon the free speech that we had in Britain, the freedom that we had to criticise the king. And the king was seen as the highest person in society. And if you could criticise the king, then you had free speech and you could criticise anybody. And now, of course, we can criticise the king, but we have to be very careful when we are criticising ethnic minorities or sexual minorities, because we could be accused of inciting hate when we're simply just analysing the patterns of their behaviour, or we are critiquing certain members of these groups, and we can be accused of incitement to hate, which means the law can be get used against you, which means that you don't have free speech, you don't have censorship. I mean, it should always be wrong to encourage people to go out and attack somebody else, because, I mean, that's really sort of conspiring to commit a criminal act. But identifying negative patterns of behaviour that you see happening in society, or patterns of behaviour that end up being negative for your particular group, that should not be seen as incitement to violence. That's an encouragement to make changes to government policy. That's not encouraging people to be violent in any way. The real tragedy about this is that the guy that was killed, this Sir David Amess, I suspect that he was a supporter of free speech. I mean, he was a very patriotic man. He was a supporter of Brexit. He appeared to have right-wing views on homosexual marriage and on abortion. So I dare say that he was a supporter of free speech, a conservative rather in the mould of Anne Widdecombe, who is another promoter of free speech, and yet this horrific attack on him is now being used to try and make an excuse for this, for something that I think he would have not gone along with. I mean, free speech is really central to democracies, because you have to be able to talk about what is going on, talk about what you see happening around you. And the whole idea of democracy is that the best ideas will float to the top. If you have free speech and everybody can talk about things, they can discuss things, they can debate things, then the best ideas are going to gain traction. And once they gain traction and they become popular, they're going to be talked about, and then they're going to reach the people that are at the very top, and then they're going to act on them and hopefully make life better for everyone. And this is the reason why we have to have this free speech. If you say that there are some things that are out of bounds and they can't be talked about, then you don't really have a free democracy, do you? Because some of the best ideas could come from those people. I mean, if we look back in history, there are lots of people that were outside of the political mainstream, and their ideas eventually got accepted. I mean, there was a while when the suffragettes were seen as terrorists, and yet they're being held up as heroes now. And I don't really support what the suffragettes were doing, but there was a time when what they were doing was seen as outside the law, and now it isn't. But I don't think there was ever a time that what the suffragettes were saying was actually banned, and they called for the censorship of it, and people shouldn't be able to hear it. The other point to this is if people come out with silly ideas or ideas that are going to be harmful, then when you debate these people, you can show that those ideas are not based on the truth. I mean, we're told that what we talk about as nationalists, we're completely wrong. Well, if we're completely wrong, why are people too frightened to debate us then? Why is it that you will never see a nationalist debating a non-nationalist or a globalist on the television? Why is it that journalists have to sign up to a journalist code of conduct that says that they should never interview nationalists, they should never portray nationalists in a positive light? If they ever do have to say anything, quote what nationalists have said, they have to put a disclaimer there and rubbish what they're saying. I mean, you just will never see our ideas actually being debated on the television or in the newspaper. And yet, truth is supposed to fear no investigation. And what we're trying to do here is investigate these ideas that modern society are built upon, such as multiculturalism being good, diversity being a strength, things like that. We're investigating these ideas and we're pointing out the negative sides to them. And rather than debating us and making that public so that the general public can make up their mind of who's talking the truth, who is speaking the truth and who isn't, they just seek to censor us. And it really says that these ideas that modern society is built upon are very, very shaky to have as foundations, because they do fear investigation. They do fear us talking about them, because they know that they're based on nothing. They're not actually based on facts. They're not actually based on reality. Well, I do hope that they don't take away anonymity and they don't increase censorship, because it will just drive this discussion underground. And I do think that it would lead to more violence, because if people have their voice taken away from them, as I say, then they've got no way to express themselves left unless they're actually using physical action. And nobody seems to point this out. They just seem to think that if they can silence people criticizing them online or saying things that hurt their feelings online, that the problem will go away. And the problem here of this MP being murdered, that had nothing to do with what people were saying online. It was an Islamic extremist that murdered him. The majority of stuff that's on the internet is not even written in Arabic. But I doubt very much whether you'll hear somebody pointing that out on the mainstream media. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.